يفتقد للبدر the place in mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight we have completed 5 juz of the Quran and a major part of Surah An-Nisa we have completed. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Madani surah, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals many laws, particularly the laws pertaining to inheritance and succession. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals them in very much detail. The beginning of the surah is quite poignant, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by saying, Ya ayyuhan nas uttaqu rabbakum, that all people, Allah addresses all people, mu'min and non-mu'min alike, believers and non-believers alike. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be wary of Allah, tread carefully, be wary, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ittaqu is not fear as in dreadful fear, but actually it is be careful. Be careful with regard to your conduct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhi khalaqakum. Now Allah gives us reason why should we be careful. Particularly be careful because this surah talks a lot about social activities. Wattaqullaha alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham, our family life, as well as our social activities. It talks a lot about that. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alladhi khalaqakum min nafsi wahida. That Allah who has created you from that single soul, wa batta minhuma rijalan kathira. And then from that single soul, which was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proliferated mankind and created men and women from them. Now here Allah gives us reason why we should be wary, why we should tread carefully, why we should not get involved, particularly in social sin, such sin which affects society, such sin which affects a family, such sins which break the structures of society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala particularly reminds us about not getting involved in such kind of sins and being wary about that. And how does Allah remind us? By prompting us to remember that you have been created from one soul. Now, my respected brothers and sisters, many a time, we know when we are kids, and particularly in school and teachers and we in the madrasa, when sometimes we have a child come up who has, who has committed some kind of mistake, or he has been up to some kind of mischief or whatever, and we speak to the child. Then many a times we say to the child, why did you do this? This is such a despicable, such a, you shouldn't have done this yet. You know, I know your father. Your father is such a good person. We say that to the son. Your father is such a good person. Look at your other brother. He's such a good person. What happened to you? Why did you have to do this here? Your father is such a good person. We remind the child, and so the child reflects that, yes, I've got a father, and that father of mine, he has a very good name in society, and that father of mine, he is so good, and he has such good habits in him, and my family members have such good habits in them. Therefore, the child is somewhat embarrassed over what he has done because of being reminded about his parents or his, his family, who are reformed and who are doing good. So a child is reminded about them. Here, my respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that, O people, be wary of Allah. Be wary of not making or not committing any kind of social sin which destroys the structures of society, particularly those sins which are prevalent in our community here in Rochdale, which actually break up societies, they break up families, those sins, and because of which sometimes parents have actually been forced to even disown their children. Those sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that be careful, don't get involved in such sins. Why? Because you have come from one soul. You have come from one soul. Who is that soul that you have come from? Every time you decide to do a sin, think that whose child are you? You can think this way that, yes, but I am a drug dealer, for example. I'm not a drug dealer, by the way. But somebody can say, well, I'm a drug dealer. Well, I'm a drug dealer because my father was a drug dealer. And because it's in our guns, in our family. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that forget your father, forget your grandfather, and think where you have actually come from. You have actually stemmed from one nafs, from one soul. And who is that soul? He is Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So before you commit any social sin, think about again and think and ponder, I am the son of a Nabi. I am the child of a Nabi. I am the progeny of a Nabi. In my blood, I have the blood of a Nabi in me. Think about it. We are all the son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah is reminding us, we are the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam min nafsin wahida. So we have come from that one soul. So ponder over this and think that I am in fact the son of a Nabi. I am in fact the progeny of a Nabi. And being the progeny of a Nabi, the Nabi of Allah, Nabi Adam, who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, that, O Rasul of Allah, Was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam a Nabi? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam replied, the hadith is in Musnad Ahmad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam replied, he's not just a Nabi, but Nabiyun mutakallamun. He's a Nabi who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly communicated with. Like how we talk about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was the Kaleem of Allah. The first Kaleem, so to say, was Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah communicated with him. So our forefather, and whose blood runs in our veins, is in fact not a drug dealer, na'udhu billah, but he was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are reminded of this, my respected brothers and sisters, then Allah ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah and tread carefully, because you will be questioned about this family lineage that you have. You will be questioned about the family structures that you have. And inshallah, when we get to Surah Al-Ra'd, we'll talk about the importance of family structure, which is so important within our own societies. We'll talk about that inshallah in detail. Nonetheless, in my respect, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about our dealings and our conduct towards our spouses. And one place Allah ta'ala says, and this is because this is prevalent within us, unfortunately, within our societies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. In fact, in a few verses a little later, in the fifth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Be dutiful towards your parents, and also be courteous, and also show ihsan and show favor towards your neighbor. Allah subhanahu wal-jari dil-qurba, towards your close neighbor, wal-jari dil-jambi, wal-junubi. That neighbor of yours who is right beside you. And that is in fact telling us with regard to our spouses. The one who is right beside you. The Mufassirin say it means your spouse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about being favorable. Favorable with regard to those who are beside you. Like somebody said, Allah has not placed her above us so that she could be our mother-in-law. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not placed our wives above us so she could tell us what to do. Allah has not placed us beneath our feet so that we could trample her. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept her next to us, close to us, so that we can keep her close to our bosom, close to our heart. So وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah Ta'ala says, live with them بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, with good conduct. Now a person during the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he went home. And I did mention this incident before, but nonetheless we'll mention it again. This person went home and he saw his wife and he said to his wife, that tell me, do you really love me? So his wife said, let's just leave that issue. Let's just leave this. Let's not talk about this. So he said, I ask you in the name of Allah. Allahu, I ask you in the name of Allah, that do you love me? Now of course he took the name of Allah, so she felt that this was binding upon her. So she said, you are taking the name of Allah and I have to tell you, I don't love you. This person was of course really, really upset and disappointed, and he went to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. And as he came to Umar radiallahu anhu, he narrated to Umar radiallahu anhu what had happened. Umar radiallahu anhu said, call for your wife. So the wife was called and she came, and with her an old woman also came with. She came in other words like an advocate for her, you know, to advocate. Because Umar radiallahu anhu, how is this woman, how is she going to reply to Umar radiallahu anhu? So this woman came, she said, don't worry, I'll sort Umar, I'll come with you. So she came, and Umar radiallahu anhu then said to her that your husband asked you that do you love him, and you said you don't love him. You should have just said you love him. So this woman said, the older woman said, Umar, you don't know what happened. I was present. In fact, the husband was, he asked the question, this woman decided not to answer, but then he took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so she was forced to answer, and therefore she gave the actual truth, the real truth, whatever was in her heart, that is what she declared. So Umar radiallahu anhu said to her, and this narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba, he said to her that even though he asked you in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should have still said, yes, I do love you. Even though your heart belies that, you should have said to your husband that, yes, I do love you. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْكَذَّابَ الَّذِي يَنْوِي الْخَيْرًا. The person who is out there to create and to gender good conduct or good relationship, that person is not regarded as a liar. So you should have rather said, yes, I do love you, even though he asked you in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Umar radiallahu anhu gave us a principle for life. He said, marriages are not made on infatuation and romance, as we say, marriages are not made on romance. He said, marriages begin on good conduct towards one another. Now this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. We sometimes there are some things which are unpalatable to us with regard to our spouses. But we could also think this way, that it is possible my spouse sees some things in me also which is unacceptable to her. But she still lived with me. She still remained with me because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, live with them and remain with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bil ma'roof, in good, you know, in a favorable manner. فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا, because it is possible you might not like something in her. وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. You might not like it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed some good in that, in that particular aspect which you don't like. Now my respected brothers and sisters, we get this word very often, irretrievable breakdown. You ask a person, he says, my marriage has reached an irretrievable breakdown. Why irretrievable breakdown? Because I just can't stand my wife. I just can't stand my wife. And sometimes even the wife says the same thing. I just can't stand. I just can't stand. You know, everything I can accept. She doesn't cook good food for me. She doesn't do this. She doesn't do that. But you know, there's one thing I just can't stand of her. My respected brothers and sisters, that one thing is hopefully or possibly or probably that one thing which Allah has placed khair in. You might not like that, but it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed khair in it. Which does not mean that now those wives of us who are listening say, my husband doesn't like my tongue, because whenever I come home, I just give him a lambasting. So now it is allowed for me, because maybe Allah put good in that. I can say whatever I like to him, maybe Allah put good. No, that's not, we don't take the other argument from it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you as an individual, live with her favorably, and if you don't like something in your spouse, then it is possible that Allah has put khair in it. And at most, if you don't like it and you remain favorable in that marriage, then you are making sabr. You are making sabr. And when you are making sabr, what is the greatest reward of sabr? Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah is with you. Allah is with you in that marriage. You are making sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raising your status. So my respected brothers and sisters, today this word irretrievable breakdown, it has become so of common use within us. This is something which is not really within the vocabulary of a Muslim. Yes, there are certain circumstances where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not kept us stifled in any marriage, that we should just remain stifled. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us and instructed us, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his lasting advices and his advice on Arafat too was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khaira." That I advise you and I admonish you very, very strongly that be good towards your wives and be careful with regard to those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought into your nikah, because you have not taken them into the nikah just standing in some front of some minister and you said, "Till death do us apart and we live together and now you may kiss the bride and that's over." No, that's not how we entered. We entered that through nikah, through an institute of nikah. This institute of nikah is a divine institute. It's a divine institute. It's an institute which Allah has ordained on this earth. We recite certain relevant verses of the Quran as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of nikah. There is a necessity of witnesses to be there. And my respected brothers and sisters, so therefore it's a divine institute. Don't treat it like play and just when we like and when we don't like, get into one marriage and leave that marriage when we don't like it. No, asa and takrahu shay'a. It's possible that you might not like it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed some good in it. Then respected brothers and sisters, a little further, there's another aspect which inshallah tomorrow will cover it, because there's some part of it comes tomorrow, muttakhidati akhdan, which is very important, but inshallah we'll cover that tomorrow. One verse Allah ta'ala says, and this Allah ta'ala first is talking about the munafiqeen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those who has prepared a severe doom for them, then suddenly amidst all those ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this verse, or rather Allah places this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Allah talks about punishment, and then suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to this verse, but remember, Allah will not oppress a person even in iota word, مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, not even in iota word. And then Allah goes on to explain, إِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا. If you have committed one good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you multifold of that in reward. And if a person does an ill deed, and there's a hadith at the back on one of the posters there, actually the poster is called Fast Book Poster, please look at the hadith. It's a beautiful hadith and it's a strong hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when a servant decides to do a good deed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before he even does that good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes that deed for him already, the reward. And when he does it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies that, gives him multifold. The least that Allah ta'ala gives is tenfold. That means 10 times, the least. And Allah goes on increasing and goes on increasing. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha, as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. And on the other hand, now this is when we say Allah does not make zulam, even in iota word. On the other hand, when a person does an evil deed, Then Allah has instructed the angel who is there to record that evil deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed that angel that do not write the deed. So in that hadith that is mentioned, and you can read it on the board, you can read it at the back, it's on one of the posters. It says that angel waits sitta sa'atin. That angel waits for 6 segments of time. For 6 hours. It's not really 6 hours, but because during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say a day. And that used to, of course, fluctuate. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say a day is 12 hours. The day of Jum'ah, he said, is 12 hours. So, 6 segments of time. That angel, when we do a bad deed, when we do an ill deed, before it is written, that angel waits. After we have committed that bad deed already, before writing it, the angel waits. He holds the pen and he waits. He does not write it. Why does he not write it? It is possible that my servant might turn in tawbah and in forgiveness to me. If he turns in forgiveness to me, then there is no use writing it, but instead, the angel on the right has to write a good deed for him because he's asked forgiveness of me. That is the Allah who we are dealing with. Inna Allah la yadhlimu mithqala dharra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not oppress a person even in iota's worth. Then respected brothers and sisters, a few other great social activities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or social deeds which we can perform. Allah ta'ala mentions, may yashfa'a shafa'atan hasanatan yakun lahu nasibun minha. A person who makes a good recommendation. We give recommendation. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sat amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for something. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept his peace. He kept silent for a little while. Kept looking at the person and looking at the Sahaba. And after some time, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'll give you. And then he told the Sahaba that I was waiting for you. I was going to give him in any case. But I was waiting for one of you to stand up and to say, oh Rasulullah, please do give him because he is deserving of it. I wanted you to give a good recommendation on his behalf. Because if you gave a good recommendation, then Nabi was going to do whatever he has to do. But you would have also got the reward of what the Nabi has given. So my respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about giving good recommendation. And recommendation, we are faced with it very often in our lives. We are faced with somebody coming to ask us with regard to a certain person who has come for employment. Do you know this person? Yes, we know him. Do you recommend him that he could take up employment with me? My respected brothers and sisters, instead of going about and trying to scratch into that person's life and trying to find some kind of faults and trying to create some kind of story around it, Allah Ta'ala gives us here an opportunity of giving good recommendation. Give good recommendation. And if you give that good recommendation, you save the soul, or you've helped the soul earn his own livelihood. And by earning his own livelihood, whatever he eats, his family eats in terms of halal, Allah will reward you for that. And on the other hand, my respected brothers and sisters, even in respect of marriage and in respect of possible suitors, somebody comes to us and asks us with regard to certain individuals. They say, this particular young man, do you know about him? He has actually come to my place, he has actually come to ask for the hand of my daughter in marriage. Now instead of us, my respected brothers and sisters, looking or trying to delve into that person's life and looking for some kind of fault or something that we can tarnish that person's image with, give a good recommendation. Of course, if we know, or if we don't know much about the person, but we only know good, then give that much of good recommendation. If we give that good recommendation, they'll live together, they'll get married, they'll live together, they'll live in halal, Allah will reward you for it. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً. But at the same time, be careful of not giving false recommendation. And that is also plagued our society. Because we find it very hard to give good recommendation. Somebody is looking out for a rishta, they come to ask us with regard to a particular rishta, we say, no, that person is not, no, that's not the right candy. Soon after some time, that person drops in, we go and then we get that rishta. That's what happens. Somebody asks for employment with regard to employment, say, no, no, he's not a very good employee, don't take him on. Soon we find somebody in our family who's looking for employment, we go and say, I found the right person for you now. And we take, that's what we do. And when it comes to give wrong recommendation, then my respected brothers and sisters, friends and family and those who are around us, those who are close, those who are near to us, sometimes they get recommendation. And in this recommendation is also when we give a vote, for example. The whole issue with regard to whether voting is permissible or not permissible, that's another issue on its own. But with regard to giving your vote, with regard to giving our recommendation, with regard to any person who will be placed in some kind of public office, and he will be, he'll be dealing with public affairs, my respected brothers and sisters, we've got to be very careful. Because Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً. A person who gives a wrong recommendation, a false, and here it means a false recommendation, يَكُلْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا. He will have to carry the burden of it. Kiflun actually is the backbone of a donkey. Just like how the donkey is loaded with whatever we burden the donkey with, he will have to carry that burden of it. That means if any, due to his wrong recommendation, anything, and he gave that knowing the fact that this person was not worthy of it. He gave that recommendation and it went ahead. Or for that matter, somebody came to ask, again in terms of marriage, and we knew certain ill traits of that person which would not be suitable for this person to get married in this family. And we hid that, and instead of mentioning that we reserve our recommendation, we gave that recommendation because he was a close family member. And then that marriage breaks up, or that family is torn apart because this particular individual, he's on some kind of drug abuse, he's on some kind of substance abuse. Then my respected brothers and sisters, those children who are born from there, and those children live a life without a father, etc., 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 all that will have to carry that burden of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of being good in terms of giving good recommendation and being careful when that recommendation is with regard to our own family folk and with regard to our own close ones, and when we know that they are not deserving of that, that Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of being careful and being wary with regard to that. The final ayat, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. In fact, it is the final ayat that we recited today too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many a times Allah prompts us to do something because He does it Himself. And this is one of those verses. Allah says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah is extremely shakir. The word shakir, appreciative. Whatever a person does, Allah appreciates. In a hadith it is mentioned, in a hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq to do, the ability to do some good deed to a particular servant. He does that good deed. When he does that good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala observes. What does he say? After he does that good deed, he says, I did it because I had the ability to do so. I did it because I am pious. I did it because, I made a change in my life. I did it because of me, because of me, because of me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are a liar. You did it only because I gave you the tawfiq of doing that. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Only because I gave you the tawfiq. On the other hand, when a servant does a good deed, and after he does that good deed, he says, oh Allah, this has only happened because you allowed me to do it. You gave me the ability to do it. Today, tonight, you allowed me to come for the Taraweeh Salah. Tonight, you allowed me to listen to the Quran. Tonight, you allowed me to perform my 20 rakats of Taraweeh. Oh Allah, it only happened because of you, because I would have never been able to do it. It only happened because of you. Allah responds by saying, oh my servant, it is true, it has only happened because of me. But I appreciate your movement. And the hadith mentions, I appreciate the movement of your hands and your feet in this regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes into consideration what the servant has done. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appreciative. So appreciative, so appreciative, that our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a person does a deed, does many deeds, and those deeds make him deserving of the fire of Jahannam. Make him deserving. Up until between him and Jahannam, there is only one handstand. Just that much between him and Jahannam. Then he does one deed, and that one deed he does for the pleasure of Allah. And that one deed becomes acceptable in the eyes of Allah. And that one deed is appreciated by Allah. My respected brothers and sisters, Allah wipes out that entire life of ill deeds, and Allah makes a person promising to enter Jannah. That is our Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ. This is actually like a lament to us. It's like a complaint to us. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ. What is Allah going to do? What is Allah going to do? بِعَذَابِكُمْ. By punishing you. What is Allah going to achieve by punishing you? إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. So long as you believe in Him, and so long as you do shukr towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is Allah going to achieve by punishing you? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. If that is not enough, then think and remember and ponder that even your Rabb, He is shakur, He is shakir, He is appreciative. We as His servants, we are more rightful of being appreciative towards our Allah, towards the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with us. We should be appreciative towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Tomorrow, my respected brothers and brothers, we will be reciting, inshallah, the sixth juz and quarter of the seventh juz, inshallah. So just a few ayats which we can, inshallah, go through in terms of our own benefit, so that inshallah we could benefit from the recital as well as we can try and follow. I earmarked a few verses here, which are actually in the seventh para. The first is, if we can possibly go through verses 90 and verses 91 and 92 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5. And then please, if you can't go through that, that's also fine. But please go through the last part of Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is, let's say, go through from verse number 116 to 120. From 116 to 120. In other words, the last passage, the last ruku of Surah Al-Ma'idah, the last ruku of the fifth juz of the Quran, indeed a really moving, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, and then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy itself. So please go through these verses, inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of living the Quran and making the Quran part and parcel of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.